31. As I was preparing this, this old song came to mind. And it's a, I didn't look it up to see who wrote it. Here it says Mahalia Jackson. When I was growing up, my grandmother loved Mahalia Jackson. Some of you do not know who Mahalia Jackson is, and it goes like this. If I can help somebody as I travel on, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I travel on, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I travel on, then my living shall not be in vain. Praise the Lord. How many people know that song? Heard it before? My grandmother really loved some Mahalia Jackson. And she had a voice, I tell you. So you could look it up and get the real thing that Mahalia Jackson did. I may have even put the words wrong. You know me, if I don't know the words, I put my own little words in there. Praise the Lord. Oh, I didn't know how to look to see. I was mostly right. Shannon, you can't do that now. You're making me look bad. Okay. Oh, I was going from memory. Hallelujah. You know, I remember when I first wanted to start ministry. I remember we were on Arnold, and I wanted to find somewhere on Davis because I wanted to help people on Davis. It was a rough neighborhood. Now that I think about it, I said, was that a young man that thought he could just do something? Because, you know, when you're young and you're just starting off, you think you could conquer the world. But my desire is always to do God's will. One of the things I used to always pray to the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to get to the place where I could help people. I want to get to the place. And I'm praising God because I'm not all the way there, but I'm pretty much there because I find myself now in a place where I'm helping people. You know, sometimes, you know, I used to come to the church and I used to say, Lord, we have a need. Sometimes I don't even come. If I'm able to do it, I do it. Because if you could help somebody as you travel on, your living shall not be in vain. Matthew chapter 25. I don't think I said the TH then, but hallelujah. Matthew chapter 25. If you have your Bibles, would you turn there? It's 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another
as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Left, yeah. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will say to them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This morning, I go ask you a question. Are you blessed or are you cursed? Are you blessed or are you cursed? Because the blessed ones inherit, the cursed one inherit something different. So as I looked at this passage this morning, and as I was going it over, that song just keep coming back to my mind. If I could help somebody as I travel on, my living shall not be in vain. Okay, the first thing in this passage where we see is his coming. You know, we celebrated Thanksgiving. You know, when I think of Thanksgiving, I think we are thanking God for his provision. He provides food, clothes, housing. It's like a harvest. Thanksgiving is really something that's saying the harvest, thank God for a good harvest. He's supplying for my physical need. Then we came and we celebrate Christmas. And what we're celebrating and thanking God for is salvation. He came and he supplied for our spiritual need. Because we were all destined to hell. We were all goats. Until Jesus came, he died on the cross that we can become sheep. Transformation. So we celebrate Christmas. In April, we're going to be celebrating his resurrection. Because the Bible says if he has not risen, we should be like imbeciles. Right? So we'll be celebrating very shortly his resurrection. But praise God. Folks, there's coming a day that we're going to celebrate his return. And the thing about it is, we should be looking for his return. And here it says it right there. It says in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Look, the Bible tells me every knee will bow and every tongue. tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is coming again. Now, do you want to know how many angels he has? You better serve him. Because get what? He's coming with all of them. None is being left behind. If you ever had a question how many angels he have, live for God, because you're going to see he's coming with all his angels and he is going to sit on the throne. Praise God. First Thessalonians 4 tells us in verse 15. He said, "For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." I don't know if you all are excited, but if Jesus came right now, I know for sure I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. I'll be caught up to meet him, caught up to meet him. Joy and happiness, peace is mine. Someday in glory, I'll tell the story. Caught up to meet him in the air. When this perishable, 1 Corinthians 15, when this perishable put on the imperishable and the mortal put on immortality, then shall come the pass, the saying, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Oh, death, where is your... Oh, grave, where is your victory? Jesus is coming again with all his angels and set up his glorious throne. Aren't you guys happy about that? I am. Here's the part I don't really like. I wish when Jesus died on the cross, everybody got saved. But guess what? He's going to have a sorting. He's going to sort. You know, I keep telling my wife, I have to go through my closet and do some sorting. Because there's some I really don't want. And they're just hanging there, and they're hanging there for years. I don't know if you're like me. I told her yesterday, I said, I should just hire somebody to come in and do it because it seemed like I can't get it done. You ever pick up something and you go, boy, should I get rid of this? You really should get rid of it. And you go, I don't think so. That's me. So I need somebody. And in fact, somebody recommend Danny. Should come and do it for me. I hear he's very good. He could sort and get rid of. I don't even want to be there. I'll cry. I don't like sorting, but there's going to be a sorting when Christ returns. Hear what he says in Matthew 25 and verse 32. It says, "Before him will be gathered all the nations." Now, I don't know if you understand that statement. No one is left out. When Jesus returns and set up his kingdom, all nations will stand before him. That doesn't mean the nation. It means every person who had lived before and who is living then is going to stand before him, and he's going to do some sorting, and he's not going to be like me. He's not going to keep the ones that are useless. You know, the clothes, those clothes in my closet that I don't wear is really useless to me, you know that? But I still keep them. I don't understand why. It says, "And he will separate people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goat, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goat on his left. Those are the blessed. And the king, verse 24, it says, and the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus told his disciple, I'm going. Go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself. I want to be in the sheep category. I want to be in the blessed category. I know some people, whenever you ask them, how you doing? You know what they say? I'm blessed. Do you know they say that? I am blessed. The only person that has the right to say that they are blessed is the ones who are sheep. Period. If you are a sheep, you're blessed. If you're a child of God, you're blessed. Why? Because when the separation comes, you're going to inherit what God has prepared for you. And then there's the cursed. Verse 41 says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you all get a statement here? It says, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Did it say prepared for you? Do you know hell was not made for us? Hell was made for the devil and his angels. We join him because we refuse the free gift of eternal life. I'm going to ask you the question again now that I've read the blessed and the cursed statement. Are you blessed or are you cursed? Amen. A few of them, blessed. If you're a child of God, say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Now say it like you believe it. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Amen. Because I am blessed. What is the criteria? What is the resume for being blessed? To be in the blessed category. Confess that he is your Savior. Let me give you the resume according to this scripture. You want the resume? For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Criteria. How many of us could put that on our spiritual resume? You know, now, it doesn't define who these people are. But in my mind, I'm thinking these are the household of faith. Now, we do have a responsibility for those outside, but let's just focus on the household of faith. One scripture says that we should not stop doing good. Did I write it down? James 2:14, I think this is it. What good it is, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works. Can that faith save him? You want me to answer that for you? In fact, it gives you the answer in the way he responds. If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace. Be warm. And filled without giving them the things needed for their body. What good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. Galatians 6:10 says,
So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially.
Say that word, especially.
Especially who? To those of the household of faith.
I remember when we first started, every year I would look for a family to bless for Christmas. Every year I would look for a family. And if I didn't have one, I found one. I called somebody, find one. And one year God spoke to me in this scripture. We were going all outside looking for a family to help. We never once look on the inside. God says, as you do it to one of these, you have done it to me. I had a friend I was trying to help a few times, and this friend would refuse to help and refuse to help and refuse to help. But I knew that he needed the help. Finally, he took the help. Why? Because it says here, especially the household of faith. Now, I thought of this for a while. This is not talking about lazy people who is doing nothing and just expect the church to come and fill their stockings on Christmas. This is not talking about the one. It says, those who steal, don't steal anymore. Get a job and work so you could give. We all should be working in a way and be giving. If you don't have enough, one thing you must be giving all the time. I don't care how much you make. I don't care if it's not meeting the bills. You should always be paying tithe. Always. That's a given. God only asks you to, hey, bring 10% into his house. But this scripture is referring to people, they're working. They just can't make it meet. They're struggling. They're not sitting down and being bums. Because the God don't call us to supply you as a bum. We're looking and we're seeing, hey, they have a need. They need it. They're not making it. And we as a church, when we do it to one of those, we are doing it to the Lord. I remember when we first moved into 1425 over there in Byron. And I was talking to Pastor Bascom and I was telling him some of the little struggles I was having with some of the things. I was just talking because, you know, he's my pastor, so I talked to him. And next couple days later, I get a call. He says, go to Walmart, to MoneyGram. I send you some money. And I'm going. By the time he takes that money, 6 to 1. 6 to 1. He has to pay $6 and something to one American dollar. He didn't send me much, but what he was doing is this. As much as you've done it to one of these, you have done it to me. What's on your resume? I'm almost there. His criteria is done without complaint. His criteria is done without complaint. How I knew that? It says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Here's the thing. It's a way of life. They wasn't even thinking about it. Do you know that?
It was a way of life. They saw a need, and if they could meet the need and help, they did it.
You know, sometimes when somebody go in the hospital, I say, I have to go visit them. You know, if they get out of the hospital before I go visit them, I feel bad. Because I wanted to visit them while they were in the hospital.
Well, I don't know any believers in jail, so. I never went to visit one. I did go to pick one up, but I didn't go to visit one.
It should be a lifestyle. Guys, I ask the Lord sometimes because, you know, everywhere you go to Walmart, you walk out in the parking lot, and it's like they know who has a heart of sympathy. I know. It's like they know it. Because they don't go to everybody. It's like they have this, they see your face and they have a discernment. I don't know. And here they comes. And they have the most sad story. And while they're telling me, I'm saying, Lord, should I give? Because, you know, the Bible says, give to those who ask. Well, I don't do that anymore, but I don't give just all the time anymore. And one time in when I was still at Save-A-Lot, there was this homeless guy that would come and push up our buggies every night, and we'd pay him $5, and he would come and push up all. We just didn't want to push the buggies up, and if he's going to push the buggies up, we give him $5. But then we had to stop because the DM don't want us to do that. And he come asking for money one day, and I refused to give him. I didn't give him any. I had it in my pocket, but I didn't give him any. And I felt so bad. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know if it was me. I can't tell you. But I said, God, the next time he comes, I'll give him some money. It took a while for him to come back, but he did come, and I gave him some money. Folks, we have to be able to know the voice of God. He says, my sheep know my voice. But we don't just need to know his voice. We have to obey his voice. And we can't do it with complaint. There's one person that takes care of that in advance. One person, when they give their tithe, they always give more than the tithe, and they write on the bottom of their check, this is offerings. They take care of it in that way. One of the things I do is I have a number in my head. Do you know that every time we pick up a special offering in this church, I have a number in my head I give? I do it every time. Because I've asked God, I said, God, I want to be a giver. I want to help to meet needs. Because I know what it's like when you're doing the will of God and you have a need. I was in college having nothing, and I knew what it's like when somebody hand me a $20 bill and say, God says, and listen, you have to know the voice of God. I come from, me and Jill went to Florida from school. We are shopping in the mall in Florida. This woman walks up to Jill and hands, we were working on jeans. I didn't own any jeans. So I was being introduced to the jeans world. And she says, the Lord says to give you this. I didn't know the woman. I didn't ask for it. But she knew the voice of God. And she obeyed without complaint. Why? I don't know if she read this scripture. But you know what this scripture says? As you have done it to one of these, you have done it to me. Do you guys have a figure in your mind when love offering comes about? When we have a need? Do you have a figure in your mind at what you're going to give? Or do you plan, do you even have a say, oh, I will give every time there is a need? Do you have that in your, at least that in your mind? Here is what my desire is. My desire is that all of us be blessed. And to be in the blessed category. You have to be able to hear the voice of God. You have to clothe him. You have to visit him in the prisons. You have to feed him. You have to give him $10 or $20 or $50. See, sometimes when we give, we think we give into an individual. But if we change our outlook of when we give and say we give in to the Lord. Let me tell you something. What Pastor Bascom did, it blew me away. You know why? I should have been the one sent into him. And he was the one sent into me. Let's be blessed. Let's have a resume like this. Let's open our eyes to the kingdom of God. And bless those. Every time I read this scripture, I think of my grandmother. She wasn't saved. My grandmother wasn't saved. But you see this resume here? You could have pinned it on her in her coffin. I can't remember how many strangers she took in, spend the night. She took in a young man and a young lady and no adoption papers. But they live with us like brother and sister for even to this day. I call her my sister. She lives in Tobago. But when she came to us, my grandmother just take her in. And you all probably heard about my oldest brother, Tony. Tony wasn't my grandmother's child. She took him in. No adoption. Nothing. She took him in and took care of him, sent him to school. And I really believe that's why she was blessed. I wasn't there when she died. I was here, and I prayed that she had given her life to the Lord. She had talked about the Lord and all of that, but I don't know. But I prayed that she had given her heart to the Lord because she had this kind of resume. Let us have a good resume. Let us hear those words. Come. Come for what the Father has prepared for you. Amen? Would somebody go get George and the group? We're going to have communion today. It's first Sunday. I try to do it on first Sunday because if I don't...